We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th Canto, Chapter 23, verses 26 to 41. Verse 26. Tasmat sankleshite vidvan vyartayarte hayasakregas yachin mayayanunam lokoyam subhimohitaha. Translation. Why must an intelligent man suffer by his constant vain efforts to get wealth? Indeed, this whole world is most bewildered by someone's illusory potency.
Mukam karati vachalam Pangulangayate gim Yakupantamaham vande Shri Gurum Jinatarnam Homagyana timirandasya Gananjana shalakaya Chakshuvanitam yena tasme Shri Gurave Yama.
So what do you remember from the verses we heard this morning? Yes? Funimali. Use your wealth for Krishna. Instead of going to hell, you'll go back to Godhead. Very good. Yes? Okay, by studying this chapter, according to Vishnu Chakravarti, we will not be disturbed by bad words. Yes?
Artha leads to anartha.
Artha leads to anartha. Yes? Same. Cause of too much accumulation of wealth is cause of anarthas. Okay, yes, I push.
Brothers Kakini.
Okay. There's a saying in South India, and I used to live in Goa for 5 years on the beach, and in the house where I was staying, there was a saying from some Sanskrit saying, and it says, if there is fight in the family, Lakshmi will leave. And there is fight between husband and wife, actually it was. If there is fight between husband and wife, Lakshmi will go. Brings a sense of renunciation when you lose your wealth. If you have some pious credits, then it will bring renunciation. Yes.
Material wealth.
Oh yes. Material wealth gives undesirable qualities. 15 of them. Yes? Dharma to karma moksha. He's wasting his human life. You get the mercy of Krishna, then one gives up the thought of liberation. Great. Okay. Anything else? Yes. Avanti Brahman's story. His suffering from being a miser and then losing it all. The great suffering, yes. When money collected improperly buys one a ticket to hell. It's his passage money. Yes, the passage money. Okay, so we're hearing about his lamentation here. That he, you know, why should an intelligent man suffer? Now, verse 27. For one who is in the grips of death, what is the use of wealth or those who offer it? Sense gratification or those who offer it? Or, for that matter, any type of fruit of activity, which simply causes one to again take birth in the material world. So the animals on the way to the slaughterhouse, of course, but all human beings are on the way to the slaughterhouse, but they just don't realize it. So what is the use of on the way to the slaughterhouse you can enjoy a little bit, or have some money if you're on the way to the slaughterhouse? What is the use of? It's not going to do you any good to have money on the way to the slaughterhouse. Or if you have a terminal illness like cancer, what is the use of your money? Your money can't buy you prolonged life. And if your house is on fire, what is the use of? There was one devotee whose house was on fire. He was sleeping. His house wasn't on fire, but he was living in a house in California. And there were these huge forest fires coming, and it surrounded his house. The forest fire surrounded his house, and all of a sudden he was sleeping. It was nighttime, and he was sleeping. All of a sudden, his tape recorder, his CD player, went on very loudly with a kirtan, and it woke him up. And then he went out of his house, and everything was fire, and he just ran to get away from the fire. He was saved, but everything was gone. He had nothing. His whole house was gone. But somehow Krishna saved him. The kirtan went on very loudly and woke him up. His CD player went on, and he woke up and got out of the house. And he was saved. He was one of the biggest donors to one of our temples. But he was saved by Krishna because he... So you should always give to Krishna. You? Yeah? What happened? Same thing. It got the electricity. And that's what must have happened with him. It hit the electricity. There was no fire in the house. It was outside. Anyway, that was very mystical. Yeah, Krishna saves his devotees. Yeah. Anyway, if this is the point, if you're in the grips of death, what is the use of everything? What is the use of your wealth? And then, verse 28, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Hari, who contains within himself all the demigods, must be satisfied with me. Indeed, he has brought me to this suffering condition and forced me to experience detachment, which is the boat to carry me over this ocean of material life. So he's remembering Krishna. And he's very happy. Now, this is a very, very significant verse. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati recited this verse before he left this world. So this verse is very powerful. We'll read it again. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Hari, who contains within himself all the demigods, must be satisfied with me. Indeed, he has brought me to this suffering condition and forced me to experience detachment, which is the boat to carry me over this ocean of material life. And so he's preparing for sannyas, and tomorrow we will hear the sannyas verse, which sannyasis are supposed to recite, at least think of, purport. We'll hear it tomorrow. It's not in today's verse. Oh, this is 28. The Brahmana could understand that the demigods who award different types of sense gratification as a result of one's fruitive activities cannot bestow the highest benefit in life. When the Brahmana lost all his property, he could understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who comprises all the demigods, had given him the highest perfection, not by awarding sense gratification, but by saving him from the ocean of material enjoyment. Being thus deprived of the opportunity to cultivate religiosity, wealth, sense gratification, and liberation, the Brahmana became detached, and transcendental knowledge awakened within his heart. So, this was Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, as I said before, he actually recited this verse before he left this world, verse 28. Verse 29, if there is any time remaining in my life, I will perform austerities and force my body to subsist on the bare necessities. Without further confusion, I shall pursue that which constitutes my entire self-interest in life, and I shall remain satisfied within the self. So he's determined, take shelter of the Lord, perform austerities, and be satisfied. 30, thus, may the presiding demigods of these three worlds kindly show their mercy upon me. Indeed, Maharaj Kadvanga was able to achieve the spiritual world in a single moment. Verse 31. Lord Shri Krishna continued, his mind thus determined that most excellent Avanti Brahmana was able to untie the knots of desire within his heart. He then assumed the role of a peaceful and silent sannyasi mendicant. So comments by both Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati on verse 31. We will hear a very nice verse. First, Vishnu Chakravarti, the phrase Hridaya Granthi means the knots in the heart. The Brahmana was able to untie these knots in the heart, which are in the form of misconception. I am this body, and everything in relation to this body is mine. Srila Prabhupada says in a purport, we discussed this, I think, last week, this abhidyate hridaya grantis chidyante savasangshaya, from 1-21, that when we chant, by hearing and chanting, we come to the level of anartha nivriti and nishta, and finally, the knot in the heart is pierced. And Srila Prabhupada said, how this happens is that the Lord in the heart unties the knot personally for his devotees. He will come, and untie the knot in our heart, which is very difficult to untie because it's not, Prabhupada says, it's knot upon knot upon knot upon knot. It's this child, that husband, that wife, from many lifetimes. It's not just this lifetime. It's a huge knot, and it's tied up in our heart. Now Krishna will come and untie it. Purport by Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta. The most fortunate brahmana from Avanti became a Tridandi sannyasi devotee of the Supreme Lord by cutting the knots of desire for material enjoyment and liberation that had existed within his heart. Yes, Prabhupada quotes, Ato griha kshetra sutapta vitaya janasya moho yamaham mameti. Ato griha, house, kshetra, land, sutta, children, apta, relatives, vita, will. So these are all the knots on the heart that Krishna will untie for us. So then he quotes this verse, and that's the rest of his purport. He quotes a few verses, 11, 20, 27 to 29, and 1, 2, 21, which I just already quoted. So, and that verse we read last week. Having awakened faith in the narrations of my glories, being disgusted with all kinds of material activities, knowing that all varieties of sense gratification leads to misery, but still being unable to renounce all sense enjoyment, my devotee should remain satisfied and worship me with great faith and conviction. Even though he is sometimes engaged in sense enjoyment, my devotee knows that this will lead to a miserable result, and so he sincerely repents such activities. When an intelligent devotee constantly engages in my loving devotional service as prescribed by me, his heart becomes firmly situated in me. Thus all material desires within the heart are soon destroyed. Okay, so that was his comment. How everything, how the anartas get removed. I read a letter from Srila Prabhupada yesterday. I forgot who it was too. Dallas. It was from Dallas. But I don't remember who was the... He was one devotee who was worried about all the anartas in his heart. And Srila Prabhupada said, well, if you just surrender and follow my instructions, I will kick out all those anartas with one kick. I can just kick them all out from your heart. So it's good if we surrender to Srila Prabhupada and follow his instructions and pray to him. Can you just give one kick out from my heart and kick out all these anartas from my heart? So then, verse 31. We did 31, did we? Yes, we did. 32. He wandered about the earth. Oh, wait a minute. What was that last verse? Okay. Keeping his intelligent senses and life air under control. To beg charity, he traveled alone to various cities and villages. He did not advertise his advanced spiritual position and thus was not recognized by others. So, does this remind you of one of the 24 gurus that we had? Wind, okay. Bracelets, yeah, the young girl. Was that young girl?
Yes.
Young girl, remaining alone, silent.
Python.
Okay. Yes, many. Purport. According to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the acceptance of Tridandi Sannyasa order of life is the chief indication that one has actually taken shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we have some sannyas candidates here, so good. The three rods of the danda, or staff, of the Vaishnava sannyasi indicate control of body, mind, and words by engaging them only in loving service of the Lord. This procedure helps one to become more tolerant than a tree, as recommended by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So what helps you become more tolerant than a tree?
Dedicating mind, body, and words.
Dedicating mind, body, and words. Controlling, engaging them in the service of Krishna. Good. By strict control of one's body, mind, and speech, the quality of tolerance becomes strengthened. So here we go. If you want to strengthen your tolerance, then strict control of body, mind, and speech means using it in Krishna's service strictly. Thus, one manifests the further qualities of forgiving others, never wasting one's time, detachment from sense gratification, lack of false pride in one's work, and not hankering for liberation. So from tolerance comes five more qualities. Forgiveness, not wasting time, detachment, no pride, and not hankering for liberation. One in this way gives up the mentality of materialistic persons who establish so-called affectionate relationships of mutual flattery and exploit each other for sense gratification. One who adopts the strict path of Krishna consciousness, following in the footsteps of great souls, can achieve the shelter of the Lord. Yes, I had one god sister who never wasted time. Her name was Ladini. She's no longer with us. And she was doing deity worship from 2 in the morning. She would get up at 2 in the morning. She lived in New Vrindavan. She would break the ice and take a bath, then chop wood for half an hour to make the fire for the deities to keep warm. Or for cooking also, you had to chop wood. And then she would make all the offerings, cook all the offerings, dress the deities, and also do the artis. So morning till night, she was engaged. But she also read all of Prabhupada's books, and I think she read Chaitanya Charitamrita 3 times through. And when would she read? During the offering, she would read at the same time make giwiks while she was reading. So this was not wasting a single moment of time. And whatever she read, she would tell somebody also, so then she would remember it too. She would be reading and telling people. And so this is, we have examples how not to waste time. Ladini Mataji. Yeah. Ladini. I think her name was Ladini.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Did I say something else? Yeah. Ladini, yeah.
The one
who was shot, yeah. The one who was killed in Africa. Yeah, it's a book, right. I got it from the book. So, verse 33. O kind Uddhava, seeing him as an old dirty beggar, rowdy persons would dishonor him with many insults. Yes. You don't know. Some of these beggars might be Jadabharat or somebody. Who knows? 34. Some of these persons would take away his sannyasi rod, some the water pot which he was using as a begging bowl. Some took his deerskin seat, some his chanting beads, and some would steal his torn, ragged clothing. Displaying these things before him, they would pretend to offer them back, but then would hide them again. So imagine, these were his only possessions, his clothes. Yeah, they took his clothes, his beads, his sannyasi rod, his begging bowl, and his deerskin seat. These were his possessions. He could, very few possessions, but they would just take whatever he had and tease him. When he was sitting on the bank of a river about to partake of food that he had collected by begging, such sinful rascals would come and pass urine on it, and they would dare to spit on his head. Although he had taken a vow of silence, they would try to make him speak, and if he did not speak, they would beat him with sticks. Others would chastise him, saying, "This man is just a thief." And others would bind him up with rope, shouting, "Tie him up, tie him up." So what he tolerated was, I mean, we think we got a problem. Well, nothing like this. People, we don't have this in a day. If we just had one of these things in a day, we would think, oh, my day is ruined. You know, just one of these things is enough. Somebody passes urine on your food. Imagine.
Or spits on the
head. Spits on your head, yes. I know, can you imagine? He was tolerating. He was tolerating all these things. They would criticize and insult him, saying, "This man is just a hypocrite and a cheat. He makes a business of religion simply because he lost all his wealth and his family threw him out."
They know.
Yeah, of course they know. There's a particle of truth, but I mean, first there's the physical, you know, violence. There's the physical insults, and then there's also verbal insults to him. So sometimes people will assault you physically, and sometimes people will assault you verbally, and sometimes even mentally, maybe. Verse 38, 39. Some would ridicule him by saying, "Just see this greatly powerful sage. He is as steadfast as the Himalaya mountains. By practice of silence, he strives for his goal with great determination, just like a duck." Other persons would pass foul air upon him, And sometimes others would bind this twice-born brahmana in chains and keep him captive like a pet animal. Who can tolerate this? We cannot tolerate. 40. The brahmana understood that all his suffering from other living beings, that's adibhautik, is it? From the higher forces of nature, adidaivik, and from his own body, adiatmik, was unavoidable, being allotted to him by providence. So, it was all Krishna's mercy, is what he thought. Purport, many cruel persons harassed the brahmana, so that's adibhautik. His own body caused him suffering in the form of fever, hunger, thirst, fatigue, etc. So if it wasn't enough, the people were giving him trouble. He was sick. He was hungry. He was thirsty. He was tired. The higher forces of nature are those that it caused excessive heat, cold, wind, and rain. So he was just out. He had no shelter. So he was being attacked from without by the people and by the demigods, and from within his own body, which also, of course, is without, but in one sense it's within. The brahmana realized that his suffering was due to his false identification with his material body and not to the interaction of his body with external phenomena. So here's the most important sentence. Rather than try to adjust his external situation, he tried to adjust his Krishna consciousness and thus realized his actual identity as eternal spirit soul. So imagine if somebody did any of these things to you. I think we would try to adjust our external situation. We would say something to these people, or we would, you know, send bad vibrations or something. And of course, with the heat, cold, and all that, we put the heater. We try to adjust in the summer and winter. Especially now, we're adjusting. We wear a lot of warm clothes, and we adjust. We keep ourselves covered, and hunger, thirst, and fever. We do try. We adjust. We do. But he was trying to adjust his Krishna consciousness. So when something happens to us, instead of trying to adjust our external situation, we try to adjust our Krishna consciousness. And that works. So how often do we try to adjust our external situation when something happens, rather than our consciousness? So verse 40, there is a comment from Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And that is, the conditioned soul identifies with his material body, and because of this misconception, it is very difficult for him to tolerate the miserable conditions of material existence. The threefold miseries can be tolerated only by one who has taken shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, the exalted elder brother of the most magnanimous Sri Krishna Chaitanya, who is non-different from the son of King of Raj. So, if you want to know how to tolerate, take shelter of Lord Nityananda. Those who are endeavoring to remain fixed in devotional service to the Lord do not become agitated by the words and actions of atheists, because they know the non-devotee's envy is a natural manifestation of their conditional life. Understanding that the atheists are acting helplessly under the control of the material nature, they consider it their duty to forgive them. That Chidandi Sannyasi of Advanti could realize these principles within his self as a result of his sincere surrender to the Lord. Verse 41. Even while being insulted by these low-class men who are trying to effect his downfall, he remained steady in his spiritual duties. Fixing his resolution in the mode of goodness, he began to chant the following song. So tomorrow we will hear the song of the Avanti Brahmin, which is the title of the chapter. And we will read some more of this. We will read this purport also. Before we stop, we'll read some more quotes. So purport, resolution in the mode of goodness is described in Bhagavad Gita. Jityayaya dharyate mana pranandiya kriyaha yogena vyapicharinya dhrittisa partasatviki. O son of Prita, that determination which is unbreakable, which is sustained with steadfastness by yoga practice, and thus controls the mind, life, and acts of the senses, is in the mode of goodness. So unbreakable, yoga practice, controls the mind, the life, and acts of the senses. This is unbreakable determination. Does anybody remember from Bhagavad Gita what is determination in the mode of passion? Yes.
Directed to enjoyment.
To enjoyment, directed to dharma, artha, and karma. Or just artha, dharma, artha, karma? Or
not moksha,
okay. So that's determination in the mode of passion. What's determination in the mode of ignorance?
No determination.
Dreaming. Yes, sleeping, dreaming. Lamentation. Yeah, you dream. You have a dream. Okay, well, I could do this. I could do that. I could do that, but I think it's better I just go to sleep. It's too much trouble. It's what?
<You know.
laughs> Better I just forget about it. Determination, mode of ignorance. Okay? Atheists who are envious of devotees of the Supreme Lord are called Naradamas, or lowest of men, and undoubtedly are en route to hell. By all means at their disposal, they disturb the devotional service of the Lord, sometimes by direct attack and sometimes by mockery. Devotees, however, remain tolerant, fixing their determination in the mode of goodness, described by Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Upashamrita. Vacha vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, udarapasta vegam, etam veganya visheta dhira, sarvam apimam prativim sashishyat. A sober person who can tolerate the urge to speak, the mind's demands, the actions of anger, and the urges of the tongue, belly, and genitals is qualified to make disciples all over the world. So here it's talking about what happens when people attack you verbally or whatever. And there is another verse that we heard year before last. No, it was last year. Prayers personified Vedas 10:87:40. Number 40. When a person realizes you, he no longer cares about his good and bad fortune arising from past pious and sinful acts, since it is you alone who control this good and bad fortune. Such a realized devotee also disregards what ordinary living beings say about him. Every day, he fills his ears with your glories, which are recited in each age by the unbroken succession of Manu's descendants, and thus you become his ultimate salvation. And so Prabhupada, he also talks in Krishna book, he says these material pangs are inevitable as long as we exist within the material world, but a devotee does not divert his attention to such actions and reactions, which are the results of pious and impious activities. Nor is he very disturbed by pleased by praise or condemnation from people in general. Did you ever have a day where somebody comes and praises you, and then within a few minutes another person comes and and it's angry with you for something? Yes, it happens. So you can see it all in one day. Actually, somebody will praise, somebody will blame you. So Prabhupada says, a devotee is sometimes greatly praised because of his transcendental activities. This is from Krishna book, chapter 87. Sometimes he's criticized, even though there is no reason for adverse criticism. Pure devotee, however, is always callous to praise or condemnation by ordinary people. Actually, devotee's activities are on the transcendental plane. He's not interested in the praise or condemnation of people engaged in material activities. If the devotee can thus maintain his transcendental position, his liberation in this life and the next is guaranteed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay. So this is a devotee. And another example from the 10th canto, 20th chapter. Just as devotees whose minds are absorbed in the personality of God remain peaceful even when attacked by all sorts of dangers, the mountains in the rainy season were not at all disturbed by the repeated striking of the rain-bearing clouds. So, like the mountain, again, we remember the mountain was one of our gurus. The mountain was always dedicated to service to others. At the same time, the mountain has to tolerate so many things like the rain and lightning bolts and things. So this is compared to the advanced devotee. He's always giving to others, but at the same time, he may be attacked. And he tolerates that. Prabhupada used to quote the verse, Titikshava Purnika, how does it go? Suhidam Sardehinam. Sarvadehinam. Acha. So he's tolerant, Titikshava Karunika, but at the same time merciful. So one thing is to tolerate, and at the same time you have to be merciful. So that's the devotee. He tolerates and he's merciful at the same time, even to those people who are giving him trouble. So here we have an example of a person who is able to tolerate. So how do we strengthen our ability to tolerate? Body, mind, and words? And service of Krishna. Very good. Okay, you have any questions or comments? Yes. A few centuries. One of the Awars?
No.
Purandara.
Purandara Das.
Das.
So he's also a great businessman, miserly.
Miserly businessman. Oh, very similar.
Yeah.
South India has the same story, huh?
But I should pay.
Oh.
I just also
fell in. Oh, very nice. Okay. Any other comments or question? Yes? Comment. 28-29. Oh, it's like Pingala, huh? Wow. Yeah, the Lord must be satisfied with me. Right. Yeah. Maybe that's... I asked that question, which guru? It must have been Pingala. Oh, no, that was the one for Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. Okay. Yeah, that's good. Yes?
There's an interesting echo in the Western literature.
Charles Dickens.
Christmas Carol.
Scrooge. Oh, yeah. There was this miserly person.
Yeah,
oh, a ghost came and explained, you know, what's going to happen.
Three ghosts.
Came and explained, you know, what's going to happen to him.
And that story.
Oh, he took this?
No. Christmas.
Okay, that's how he became famous. Wow. Yeah, I know that from my childhood. The movie would be on, always on the TV, Christmas time. Yes. About, yeah. Yes. Before his death. Before he left his body. Yeah, I read that somewhere, but I don't remember where. I read that. Oh, it's in here. I think it was 28, right? Yeah, okay. Yeah, I read that somewhere. I read something that he wrote or he said before he left, and this verse was quoted before he left his body. Like his last instructions. He had 25 instructions or something. I think it's with that. It's like together with... No, he left it after he recited it.
No.
Oh, okay, yes. Okay, any... Yeah.
So in West tradition area.
Yeah.
But West 28, he's telling...
Who it is.
Yeah.
Who it is, yeah. He's clarifying whose illusory energy it is. Supreme Lord. Yeah, any other questions or comments? About what?
Yep.
A dog. A duck. Yeah.
I just wondered what the...
Why duck?
The insult was with the duck.
Any
determination of...
Hare Purush knows. Why duck?
It's a very common... It's actually not a duck, but a heron.
Heron, okay. Baka. Oh, yeah.
It's a very common metaphor.
For cheating.
An example in Vedic culture.
Yeah.
Because heron stands on one leg like
an ascetic.
Meditator.
Yeah.
Only meditates upon is a fish.
Okay, it's a metaphor for a heron. Yes, that's it.
It
must
like
be.
Even in
fifth canto,
yeah.
I believe it's there. The herons, the cranes. You know, they go in the dirty place on the shore of the river, like Grihastha life. They don't care; it's dirty. And he stands. Yeah, it's a pretender. It's a metaphor for the pretending religionist. I've heard that before too.
Heron,
cat, yeah, cat also. Cat, buzzard, Hitopadesh, maybe. Well, there is a cat that became a says, I've become vegetarian now. So all you mice come and worship me. And the mice started to diminish. Was it? Yeah, I think so. I've become very saintly. I've renounced.
Story?
Do you just hear? Really? I know I heard it somewhere. But because I read Hidopadesha and all these Panchatantra and all these stories that my son had, his comic books, so sometimes I remember them. Yes. Yeah, this is in Mahabharata as well, that if you tolerate someone who is giving you trouble, then you get all their good qualities and they get all your bad qualities. So yeah, that's in Mahabharata. I remember that. If you retaliate, you get their bad qualities. And they get your good qualities. Okay, so next time you get angry, think about this. Yeah, we're talking about personal insult here. This is the topic. Yes, all right. No, he's not quoting, he's just speaking. It's his own realization, pretty much. He quotes, I mean, there was one I quoted today, it was from some psychologist. I have that, William something, I mean, it was a psychologist. But yeah, and he quotes from Bhagavatam and Gita, but more often it's just his realizations from years of research and being a devotee. And his outreach, like he does a lot of outreach preaching. So there, you know, he's with scholars, he writes books for scholars and new people, and so from that he has a lot of experience. And he's writing the book, you know, it's geared, it's targeted towards these type of people. So when I read, it's like I'm just quoting him. It's his own, like, realization. Most of the time, unless I say there's a reference here. But it's just his own purports. He wrote his own purports, like, to the Uddhava Gita. And you know, a lot of purports he explains to these non-devotees what things mean. And so I skip those because we already know the terminology in that. So, but he tries to make it relevant for modern people. Yeah, it's called Krishna's Other Song, Uddhava Gita. This is this book here. But it has a different cover. I just saved the covers. I'll put the cover on tomorrow so you can see what it looks like. I should put this one too. You can see what they both look like. You can get it at the book. Oh, there, he has Uddhava Gita there. Yeah. Yeah. That's, Ishra produced it as Bhumipati, who is the translator, and his commentaries by Vishnu Chakravarti and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati.
Basically from the BBT translation.
But some of those commentaries are different.
Not the commentary, but the translation.
Oh, the translation. Okay. That's okay. The commentaries, are quite unique. A lot of them. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Actually, my ex-husband did it, but I don't know what he did. Yeah. He was the editor. He was the writer.
This?
this
BBT
one. No, this one. Not the BBT one, no. No, he did this one, so.
This is Ishwara's book.
Ishwara, yeah. It's Ishwara's book. No, this is Bhumipati that Ishwara published, and this is Satyaraj's book that he published.
So
yeah, it's just out. It's now you probably can't get it. It's from the West. I don't know if you. Maybe not yet. It will be eventually, but I'm not sure if it is. Even his translation, even his verses are different. It's quite like more geared to the modern. Yeah, I mean, there's only three versions. There's the Bhagavatam, there's this one, and there's his that's available. So we can take, there's a lot of good things that he says, and I think it's very nice.
So in BBT, printed?
No. Some outside, I think. Outside. Not BBT. What's the name of it?
This is not the
video. Prager? Yeah. Some big publisher, it looks like. California, England. Okay, any other questions or comments? Yes? Abai, did you? Oh, okay. Any other? So tomorrow we will hear the song of the Advanti Brahman, the title of the chapter, and lots of philosophy. And if you're not already convinced, by tomorrow you'll be convinced that where is all the trouble coming from? Your mind. You're not this body, and you're not this mind as well. So maybe in your last class, Vibhurjan, you figured out you're not the body. But now tomorrow you're going to hear how you're not the mind. A lot about it. Yeah, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.